Guy, are you listening? Are you listening? If you're not listening, then see your life. And of course, I've decided to redirect my podcast to a conversation on Afrobeats, the African genre dominating the global music scene. And as a fan or mshabiki in Swahili, you can expect to hear my take, interviews, and banter on all matters surrounding Afrobeats. And of course, you're listening to the Afro Banter Beats podcast with Bobby Nishimwe. And it is not banter, it is banter. Please, Guy, don't vex me now.
Hey, Kendrick, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, first of all, thank you for coming on to Afro Banta Beats with Bobby. You know, very honored to have you on. Obviously, we went to school together at Georgetown. I'm not going to lie to you. You were one of those dudes I looked up to. You know, I was always just like, just always impressed by, you know, just always had good energy, you know. And it was like in conversation, you didn't really have to say much, but it was just like every single time we bumped into each other, it was always good vibes, just, and like definitely have a lot of respect and for you and whatnot. And so I just at least wanted to get that out of the way. But sort of how have you been doing sort of in the past few weeks? You know, we obviously have came out of COVID, came out of summer, we're coming out of the winter, and spring is upon us. So like sort of what's your mood right now, and then how are you doing overall?
I appreciate that lovely intro. That means a lot, man. I mean, you were definitely one of the young cats on campus when I was there that was just full of energy, full of good energy, positivity. And like you said, every time, you know, we didn't see each other all the time, but every time we saw each other, it was all love. So, you know, when you reached out to me, I was like, definitely, like, there was no doubt that I got back to you right. Whatever you need from me, bro, like, yeah. I got you. But in regards to, you know, the pandemic and everything, you know, it's been rough. Just dealing with all the COVID stuff, but now that things are kind of lightening up a little bit, the COVID rates are going down. Even my school has like removed some of the mask mandates and stuff like that. In New York, the mask mandates are going away. The mood is changing a little bit, you know what I'm saying? In myself and in the city, and even in the weather, you know, things are looking up right now. So honestly, just trying to stay positive and look forward to what's to come in the spring and the summer. So we're on an upward trend right now, coming out the winter, like you said.
Hey, I'm excited for New York summer. You know, New York summer last summer was crazy. And so I can't wait to see what this 2022 New York summer has for us. And sort of speaking about New York, so you're of Haitian descent and you also grew up in New York. What is that like, you know, sort of growing up with the sort of the Haitian identity in a place like New York? What is that experience? What was that experience like for you?
I grew up on Long Island. And the neighborhood I grew up in was predominantly like white and Hispanic. And so there wasn't really, how would I say it? There wasn't really a lot of friends that I had, I would say, that were Haitian. But a lot of I have a really big family. And a lot of my family live like 15 to 20 minutes close by. Like I have like 4 or 5 aunts and uncles who live like within and their kids too. So like my cousins who grew up like all like within 20 minutes of me. And so like, I don't know, despite the context of like my neighborhood, I was always around like Haitian people because I was with my family all the time. And, you know, obviously New York in general has a really big Caribbean population. And so my grandparents have lived in Brooklyn since I was a child. So I was always out coming out to Brooklyn, getting Haitian food every time I came out. And so, you know, I think it's a good place to be for Caribbeans because we all here. But yeah, bro. I think that's pretty much what it was.
Well, and sort of talking about with your experience, so did you all have like, were y'all having like big Haitian parties as well in terms of, because a part of it is I want to understand sort of your dive into DJing and into sort of your interest in music and entertainment. And I wanted to understand sort of did growing up around such a huge Haitian family, whether you guys had parties or had events with Haitian music, did that ever in any way, shape, or form play a part into you even diving into sort of starting to DJ at some point, was DJing just a separate, totally separate thing that came by its own?
Yeah, so definitely music is a big thing. Like Haitian people always listen to music. Mm-hmm. Both my parents are Haitian. Pretty much everybody in my family married a Haitian person too.
Y'all kept it local. Yeah,
exactly. And so, like you said, like every family function was big. And as you know, it's funny, growing up, I don't know if you have a similar experience or not, but growing up, like when I was in probably middle school and even younger, like I'll be like, damn, bro, all these people play Haitian music. Cause you know, I'm first gen. And so like, I'm like, oh, I want to hear some hip hop. Like, I want to hear what I'm at school.
Yeah.
And so like me and my cousin, we always be like, damn, bro, like we hear these same songs, like we old school songs, like over and over and over again. But like, as I've grown up, I've grown to appreciate them a lot more. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, these dudes are legendary. Like New Look, Alan Cave, Kaimi, like all those guys are like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're legends, bro. But in terms of the DJing, I say so it's kind of funny. My dad, when he was younger, used to DJ like parties. He wasn't like a big DJ. He didn't do it like it was never his career.
Right.
But you know, legend goes like he would throw some crazy parties. And he lived in Manhattan when he came to the States.
Okay.
So you know, the legend goes they were throwing him and his brother were, you know, going crazy throwing
Pops
parties.
Was making it lit. He was making it lit.
And so he had this like big old clunky turntables from back in the day that, you know, he would whip out every now and then for like a family party, but he would never really be on there like mixing. He would just like throw a mix on there and play it. And so I always saw it like in the house, but there was never really much to it. Like it was just something there. And then I want to say it was like the summer of 2019 before my senior year began. I was home for like a month or something like that, like in August. And I saw his turntables again and was like, oh, like, why don't you teach me? Because I love music.
Right.
It's a big part of my life, something I listen to every day, et cetera, et cetera. And so I was like, I'd love to learn how to do this. And so like he was like, oh, like, all right, I'll teach you one or two things, da 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 da. So he kind of like showed me the basics. And from there, kind of like that month that I was home, I would just kind of like practice, because it wasn't anything like serious. It was just like I want to like learn how to use this. So I was just kind of playing around, and it was like, okay, I was kind of getting the hang of like little transitions, you know, laying different songs over each other. And I just asked him, like, can I take this back with me like to school? Because he's, you know, you're not using it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love this, like it's like this big, it's just super heavy, like, you know, like old computers, are like big clunky, even TVs, like compared to the laptops we have now, or like flat screens, like they're just always big. It's the same thing. So I lugged this big thing back to campus with me, set it up where I was staying. And honestly, from there, it was just something I would do like for fun. Yep. And after a while, I was like, you know, like I could make money off this. Like, you know what I'm saying? If I get better, like I could make money. And then one thing led to another. I started doing like, the first couple of events that I did were, I did them for free because I didn't know how I was gonna do.
Doing over promise, you know what I'm saying?
Like I did them for free because I was like, I need to get my feet wet. So I think it was a cookout at GW. Was like my first thing. They needed a DJ like last minute. And I knew somebody who was like on the planning committee for that event or whatever, so I did like a cookout and it was mad fun. Like I was like, you know, it was like springtime or not, it was the end of the summer, like beginning of the semester in the fall, so it was still warm out, and everybody had a good time. And after that I was like, oh yeah, like I gotta learn how to really like tap into this, because one, I can make some money, and two, like it's fun and it's just enjoyment. Yeah, so that's the long version of like how I got into that and all that. Yeah.
So when you start DJing, is there a specific genre that you picked, or you were just kind of going like, Because I would assume the most DJs that when you start DJing, you're going to go with the genre of the music that you listen to the most or that you're most familiar with. Sort of what genre did you start with, or were you just kind of bouncing around around the different genres?
So that time in my life was a time where I was just listening to everything. Well, everything in the diaspora.
Okay.
Like I was,
he wasn't listening to country. So you trying to? Yeah,
I had to correct myself there. You know, like I was listening to obviously like hip hop, R&B in the States. I was listening to dancehall. I listened to compa. I listened to soca. I listened to Afrobeats. I listened to Alté. And then at the time, drill was picking up a lot too. And so I was getting into like UK drill. Kind of like the Afro swing type vibe that they got going on there too. And so I think the easiest thing for me to practice when I first started learning was hip hop, because it's just like, how would I say, a lot of the beats are the same. And there a lot of songs are kind of in the same like BPM range. And so like—
What is the BPM range for those of us who are not familiar with DJ?
Beats per minute. And so it's kind it's kind of just like the pace to the song. It's kind of just the pace to the song. And so like when the songs have a similar BPM, they're just easier to mix because they're like
you can jump in from one to another basically.
Yeah, and like the I guess the downbeat like is that the like it's like 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 like they'll have the same like fourth beat. I don't know, like, I was never technically trained to DJ, so, like, when people ask me like, technical questions, I don't know how to explain it, because it's just, like, what I know and what I see and what I hear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so hip-hop was just kind of easy at first, but I would experiment with everything that I knew. I would just go on, I'm not going to incriminate myself, but I would just download music.
Yeah. Hey man, you starting out. You just trying things out. You just experimenting.
Yeah, I would just download music and I was living in
allegedly, by the way. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was living on Peace Street at the time, I think. That was our Prospect.
Prospect. Yeah, yeah. You were living by the across from the Transformers. The guy with the Transformers.
Exactly. Yeah. we had a little house. There's like four of us in there. And so like my roommates would hear me all the time just like in the kitchen. I'll come out put my stuff on the kitchen table and just mix. And even the people next door, they always be like, "Yo, like mad loud."
Well, sort of talking about DJ, so obviously every DJ has a name, right? And yours is DJ Havoc. How did you end up choosing that name, and what the hell does DJ Havoc mean? I mean, what is the significance behind that name, if there is any?
The million dollar question. So you know, I'm a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And Havoc was my line name for a number of reasons. I'm just, you know, like at the time when I was younger, I had a lot of energy. I went to the room with a lot of energy. I know how to have a good time. You know, I wreak some havoc.
You're a troublemaker.
It's a good way.
All right.
When I started DJing, it was kind of like, this is all new to me. I don't really know, like, how do you pick a DJ name? Yeah. But that was, you know, a nickname or in my line name at the time. So I just went with it. And, you know, like, I've actually been thinking a lot about kind of like rebranding it and changing my name. I think I'm like kind of past that period of my life.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something that probably fits my like energy and vibe and present time a little bit more. So, you know, stay tuned because there might be a rebrand.
Hey, we're all about rebrands on Afrobata Beats.
Yeah. I've been toying with the name DJ Soleil. Like my last name is Beausoleil. The sun, is a very powerful like image and a lot of cultures, but especially in the diaspora, considering like a lot of us are from, you know, places close to the equator.
Yeah.
and obviously all the implications of like the sun and religion and everything like that. But also, like, I don't know, Soleil just feels like it's smooth, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, DJ Soleil. And so, I've been toying with that a lot. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I'm with it. I rock with it.
All right.
I rock with it because I think, you know, how many DJs out there you got to be who's DJ Soleil? I mean, I think it actually has this thing because you talk about your last name. And talking about Soleil, you actually have a mix out there. I think it's called Piano du Soleil. I think, is that the I'm a Piano one, correct?
Yeah.
And first of all, I have to say I was honored to be featured on the Instagram post that you made.
You know what's funny? I was so when I like post mixes, I normally try to like post like a video.
Yeah.
Just like to get people's attention, and like sometimes I post like funny clips and whatnot. So I was just like putting together like videos in my camera roll, like of, you know, different people dancing and like people dancing to like different genres of music, but like matching it up. And I was just going through my camera roll and I found that video, bro. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that was Visions, right?
That was Visions, my freshman year, 2019 or 2020.
I was like, yo, I remember that day, like this guy Bobby was going in. I was like, Bobby was going in, and it just lined up perfectly. I was like, oh yeah, I got to Bobby in there because he was eating it up.
Yeah. But yeah, I was listening to that mix right before we started interviewing, just because obviously I wanted to get in the mood and sort of your mindset of sort of how you put different music together. And first of all, I have to say that's a lit mix, and I was just kept listening to it. Granted, I don't know all the titles of all the songs in there, and I wish maybe there was a way for SoundCloud to be able to let us know what sort of the title of the song. Hey, SoundCloud, by the way, if y'all make that official, please do give me some coins for that, all right? But sort of when you're thinking about sort of putting together mixes, obviously I'm a Piano, it's South African, you know, you're Haitian, you grew up in New York, you're from the US. How do you sort of get yourself, because that's also sort of, it has sort of a techno element into it as well, but also sort of that South African beat element. How easily is it for you to sort of mix those kind of beats that are in a way so different from what you grew up with, or even from sort of your cultural background in terms of like Haitian music, which, you know, is more of like romantic sort of, you know, vibes to it.
Slow, romantic. That's a whole nother conversation. Honestly, it's not that difficult. I listen to a lot of music, man. And so like, I think when I feel, and I haven't made, before that mix, it was probably like a year before I made another mix. You know, I think being in COVID and everything, I just wasn't feeling as like creative and inspired, everything. But I think just like around the time when I made that mix, I was just listening to Amapiano a lot, bro, because like, I know it's been kind of on the rise for maybe like the past couple of years, but you know, I probably just got on the wave like last year, and I was like, yo, like this music is crazy.
Sick,
like,
yeah.
And you know, I'll tell you, I was, what was it? It was probably 2019 or 2020. I was just looking for new music, right? Mm-hmm. And so I still remember this to this day. I was, this is back when I had Apple Music. I don't even use Apple Music anymore. I'm Team Spotify.
I'm Team Spotify as well. But Apple, you know, I'm cool with y'all.
But yeah, and I was on Apple Music, and Apple Music had a feature where you could look up the top charts, like top 10 songs, whatever. And by country.
Really? So,
yeah, which like, I don't even know how I discovered it, but I was probably just playing around like on the explore page, whatever. So I was like, oh, like this is kind of dope. Like, let me see, you know, music in South Africa. Mm. And so it was just random. And I heard a song by Kabza De Small.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember that. You know, I can't really pronounce a lot of the song titles.
It's like Zulu and all these
it was like Ignibi or something like that, right? I remember, bro, I was just sitting there like, yo, I've never heard anything like this before. Yeah. Like, and you know how every, like, not everyone, but a lot of Amapiano songs kind of start with the like, kind of like a shaking, like, you know what I'm saying?
And then somebody's making some noise in the background.
Oh, and I heard that sound and then the beat drop, and I was like, yo, this is tough. Yeah. And yeah. It just felt like a black version of, like, oh, well, let me not say black.
Yeah, you can say it.
like a super black version of, like, EDM and, like, techno music. And I was like, yo, like, I would have never I don't really listen to those genres, but, like, I'll listen to this. Yeah. Like, they got it. And so, but yeah, to get back to the original question, it's really not that difficult to switch between genres for me, because I listen to everything so much that, like, the sounds are just, like, in my head. Like, I hear, and again, like, it's tough to explain because I don't have the technical training to tell you, like, oh, like, this type of thing lines up with this and this goes well with this, but, like, I just hear it. And I'm still learning. Honestly, I want to take some more, like, technical, like, classes, but, you know, that's down the line. But yeah, man, it's just in my head. Yeah.
And you know, since you were talking about Amapiano, actually, there's this rapper. If you're not onto him, you should definitely get onto him. His name is Ricky Rick. Unfortunately, he did just pass away. South African rapper just unfortunately passed away. But there is a song. I can't pronounce it, but I'll send it to you afterwards. But anyways, for those of y'all listening, go and check out Ricky Rick, his famous South African rapper who just unfortunately passed away. But, like, there's a song that he has, and the beat is just like, dun, 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 dun. I mean, it's vibes, it's amazing.
You feel like your body just started moving.
And it's just slowly move, and then boom, the beat drops, and you don't know what's going on in the knees. I always tell people, if you're dancing to any Amapiano beats, if your knees are not steady like those of Megan Thee Stallion, please get out of the way.
Even me, I gotta stand back. I'll let y'all do this. I'll play the music. I'll let y'all do that part.
Oh, man. And so obviously we're talking about Amapiano, but then actually Afrobeats is mostly in all about Afrobeats. So I wanted to talk about, you actually also had another mix, and I think that was in 2019, if I'm not lying, or 2020, of Afrobeats music. Sort of what made you want to make that mix to start with? And also, how did you get introduced to Afrobeats as a genre?
So, again, like, I wanted to make that mix because I just really like Afrobeats. And you know, again, like, this is kind of like fresh when I was first starting DJ, and I was like, I'm gonna just make, like, whatever genres I'm listening to at the time, like, I'm gonna try to make a mix. And you know, I looking back on it, was, you know, it wasn't the craziest mix, but for the time, you know, it was good. It was it was what I knew how to do. How did I get into Afrobeats? I think there's a couple of origins. So my best friend from since, like, high school is Ghanaian. And so I think he was definitely an influence. Like, when I was in high school, he would play, like, certain artists, like, probably, like, Davido was probably, like, the first artist that, like, Afrobeat artist that I heard. It was like, oh, like, I like this. And just, like, we would be on SoundCloud a lot because both of us were just always listening to music. And so, like, I would go through his, like, SoundCloud likes and just listen to stuff. Techno was really big, like, back then too. I was listening to him a lot, R2B's. I was just like, yo, like, it's hard to explain, like, what I like about it, whereas it's like, I like this. And also, I think my dad too, like I said, he used to DJ, and he's just always listening to music. Like, every time he would pick me up from school, I know he's there because he's just blasting his music.
No shame at all.
And there's an artist, his name is, I think, Salif Keita. You know who that is?
Not sure. I'm familiar with them. Please, all the Africans, don't come for me.
I don't remember.
Where was it, like before our time, or?
I think so.
You say Kieta?
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. I don't remember where he's from, but my dad used to like love him. Like he would just play him all the time, and it wasn't like I don't even know if it was Afrobeats.
Salif Keita.
Keita, maybe, yeah.
He is African continent's best loved artist, Malian Afropop singer and songwriter.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too familiar with that sound, but yeah.
I don't even like. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know how my dad started. You know what I'm saying? But he's just, I guess that's where I got it from. He would just find music and like, you'd be like, where is this from? He's like, I don't know, but I like it. But he used to play a lot of him. And so like, just from when I was young, and I just was exposed to different sounds. Like, that's why I say too, like, I listen to music for like sounds. Like, I don't even necessarily listen to music for like the content or like the lyricism or like, I'm listening for the sounds, because like that's what makes you move. That's what makes you feel. And so like, yeah, I think that's how I got into Afrobeats, and then probably, you know, going to college amplified it, because you know, you got all the Afrobeat and Caribbean part happening.
Yeah. Legendary times.
You know, and those would always be the most fun parties, because that's where people go and dance. Like, go to like, you know, no shade, but you go to some other, you know, parties where they only playing like hip hop and rap and pop music. And, you know, people will just kind of be standing around, or like some people might sing the hook to a couple of songs, whatever. But like,
you can only dance in a certain way with those music. Right. I mean, it's kind of limited, unless if you're putting on a whole performance.
Yeah.
It's a bit more difficult, you know what I mean?
You gotta like do some, exactly. That's when I was like, yo, like, this music is just like enjoyable. And it's funny, because I never really saw it as like other. I think some people, when they like see my playlists or like see the things that I listen to, they'd be like, oh, like, why are you interested in like UK artists, or like, why are you interested in like Nigerian? Like, it's so like random. But I don't know, like, for me, it's just music. Like, it doesn't matter like where they're from. It doesn't matter like how far away they are from where I'm from or how they sound. Like, I remember, I think people just maybe don't open their ears as much and just like allow themselves to be exposed to things that are different. It's just like another genre that's like, they make good music and then they make incredible music. And so like, I'm gonna listen to it.
Yeah. And you can't deny good music. If music is good, it's good.
Can't deny good music, man. And I think, you know, what solidified like my love for Afrobeats, WizKid released the album, what was it, Soundman Volume 2 or Volume 1, bro. It was like the most magical album. Like, I'm telling you, anybody listening that wants to hear some like smooth, like enjoyable Afro beats, like, listen to this album. And it's under his, it's not under WizKid, it's under Starboy, like on Spotify and everything. But like, it is like the smoothest album. I like, to this day, it's my favorite album. I listen to it all the time. I think it's like 5 or 6 tracks. That album solidified, like, yo, like, the genre is crazy, bro. And like, WizKid, Burna, like all these guys were huge, like, and they got the formula.
Well, look, and it works. It works.
now there's all these artists, you know, like, that are coming up behind them. This is great to see. Like, I'm becoming like a big fan of Buju now. Like, he's in my head, he's like WizKid's like predecessor. Like, he's kind of falling into the same lane, and he's doing his thing. And so, yeah, it's just beautiful, man. It's beautiful. Well,
I wanted to turn the tables a little bit different, as we're somewhat coming a little bit too close to the interview of, you're also currently studying law. and but you also obviously still have a great interest in DJing. So what is the goal? What goal do you have for sort of your DJ outlook? I don't know if you want to turn it into a full-on career. I don't know if you want to merge sort of the music entertainment with sort of the law that you're studying. What's sort of your vision for the future when it comes to DJing?
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point during the pandemic, I was like, yo, I'm done with DJing. Like,
yeah,
there was a point where, because, bro, like, law school is just taxing. Like, it's just doing work all the time. You know, I work outside of school too. So, like, going to work and then, you know, trying to work on these startup ideas. And there was just no time for it, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, if I'm not practicing, like, I'm gonna kind of, you know, lose the sauce,
yeah,
whatever it is. And you know, I relocated from DC to New York, and so like my DJ network was just completely, you know, unavailable to
disrupted
me. Now I'm trying to like re-network and find a place to do like consistent gig. Like, it just became a lot, and so I was doubting myself for a long time and was just kind of like, yeah, like it doesn't need to be a necessary part of my life. And then I did an event for a friend of a friend who's now a friend. And it was like a rooftop party. And like, it was just mad fun. The party probably started at 10. We went to like 4 or 5 o'clock.
Dang. Like, wow. So,
like, and like, I hadn't played a gig in a while. And so I played like, I played hip hop, I played Afrobeats, I played dancehall, I played house music, and everybody was dancing. Like, everybody was having a good time. Like,
how did that feel for you? How did that feel for you in that time?
Bro, it was like the best feeling in the world. Like, I was like, okay, now I remember why I wanted to do this. It was like, not only is it fun, but like, it's just beautiful to see other people like enjoying life. Like, not to get like, to like cliche or whatever.
And sentimental,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, too cliche, but like, there's a feeling of like, yo, like, we're all here in this place right now and having a good time. Like, regardless of whatever's happening in your personal life, regardless of whatever beef you got, whatever the other things you got to think about, like, right now, we're all like enjoying ourselves together, like, in community. And I'm the one that's delivering the vibes, and like, everybody's enjoying it. And like, people dap me up, like, yo, bro, you killed that set. At the end of the night, like, everybody like helped me pack up and bring my stuff to the car. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just a reaffirmation. And that told me, like, bro, like, I can't stop this. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to stop. Like, I don't want this to not be a feeling. I don't want this feeling to be a feeling that I don't feel again. Like, I would need to feel this again. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, like, law school and DJ is kind of hard to balance, but like, I think now I'm in a time where I'm finding a balance, and I'm still figuring out what it is. And so, like, that's why you see lately, like, I've been posting a lot more content, because it's like, okay, if I'm not going to be going out every night trying to, you know, get a gig and do this because I have to do my work and I have to study, then at least I could, like, make some time during the week to, like, make content and, like, still share, like, the music, still share, like, the things I enjoy with other people. And now that we're transitioning to the spring and summer, like, there's some potential gigs coming up.
Right.
Reaching out to some people to try to do some things on the weekends, et cetera, et cetera. And so, like, my goal with the DJ stuff is to, like, have it take me as far as it, as God wants it to go. Like, it could be, like, I just have a cool little spot where I DJ, you know, once a week, like, that's it, cool.
Yeah.
Or it could be like I'm on tour, like DJing with some new artists, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, wherever God wants it to go, wherever the universe is taking me, like, I'm on for the ride. But definitely in some capacity, like, I want it to be a part of my life. And yeah.
Well, I mean, man, that's beautiful to hear. And I think you summed it out. You summed it up in very beautiful ways of sort of first, like, well, first, as you know, those of us from the continent, we all about, you know, life is about enjoyment. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, you have to choke life. You have to eat. Like, and I think, honestly, that is the thing for me that I think, first of all, I enjoy so much about talking to people like you who serve in the creative industry and the entertainment industry who are doing sort of just these, there's a creative outlet and creative energy that you're putting out there in the universe. And I think it is so beautiful because, man, people go through so much things in their lives, and just being able to have somebody like a DJ somehow be able to play around with these various beautiful arts of work that are already out there, these songs and these melodies and these beats, and be able to make you forget, even if it's just for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour or two or more, about just all the things that you have to worry, what's on your schedule next week. Like, don't even think about it. This is time for you to just enjoy yourself and have fun. And I think that is so beautiful that you are able to create that kind of experience for people and just humanity at large, man. And that's, you know, I've always said, like, actually, there's a South African DJ who's actually coming into town to DC, which you should check to see if he's coming to New York, DJ Mafarisa. Look, I've always told people, I'm like, look, I'm tired of just going to parties just to go. Who is a DJ? Like, I want to know who is a dude behind, or the woman or the lady, whoever it is behind the mix. Like, who is curating the experience for me? Yeah. And like, and that's why for me now, like, I'm starting to care so much about the DJs.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, oh, if I go to this event and it's this DJ, I can expect this type of experience. I can expect to go out with, like, a bang. Like, I know, and once I get in there and they just start going with the mixes, oh, my whole mood is going to change. And I love that sort of you were able to experience that, of seeing, like, really people enjoying sort of the work of art that you're putting out there and that you're doing. And that is just so beautiful to see, man. And look, I know things are going to work out for you. You know, you have good energy, like, people love you. And I'm obviously, you know, every single week when you post, you know, a mix and you just on Instagram, like, I love to listen to that and hear that, man. And I appreciate you for taking sort of the chance to really challenge yourself and put that work out there and sort of kind of and I know I keep saying we're ending, but it comes, it's going, but I really mean it this time. Like, to sort of to end this interview, what do you think, like, what is it that sort of I think just keep pushing you to sort of continue on with your creative outlet and just sort of push the boundaries? Like, what is it that you think just pushes you to continue doing this and continue this work?
You know, I think, not to get dark, but I think kind of like mortality to a degree. Like, at the end of the day, bro, like, as unfortunate or fortunate, however you see it, that it is, it's reality that, like, we're all gonna pass, like, we're all gonna leave this earth at some point, like, my time will be over. And so it's like, I really have to ask myself, like, what will I be happy knowing that, like, I did? Like, what can I die happily, like, knowing that I did with my time on this earth? And it's like, I've determined for myself, the best thing I can do is, like, give myself, like, give a product of, like, the things that go on in my head, and, like, leave, like, a physical manifestation of that for people to consume, like, either, you know, the world, or, like, my friends or my family or my kids. Like, I want to leave something where, like, I want to leave something now and forever that, like, people turn to and say, like, oh, like, I can, like, not that I can still feel him here, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I can connect with him. And whether that's, like, you connecting with me on Instagram right now because you're watching something that I made, or, like, you're, like, a Beau Soleil generations later, oh, look, my grandpa used to, like, post these videos online, and, like, this was cool. Like, he loved music so much, and he shared this with the world. And so for me, it's, like, in order to, like, feel fulfilled and feel happy, like, with the person I am, I feel like I have to, like, continue to express myself and, like, just share things that I enjoy. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, with social media and everything, there's, like, the weird, like, pressure around it. You're kind of scared of, a lot of people are scared of being judged. A lot of people are scared of, like, failing. But it's, like, I didn't even set standards for myself of, like, what success and failure is. It's, like, I just want to share myself, and, like, somebody's going to enjoy it, even if it's one person. Like, there was one person who's like, oh, like, I didn't know this song, or like, oh, I really like this song, I like how he put these two songs together, like, that's it, that's enough for me, because like, I'm sharing myself with the people around me. And so and just, you know, take, like you said, I think that was a really good way to put it, like, taking a chance, like, just take the chance, like, just take the chance, like, see what it feels like to share something that you love with the world, with your friends, whatever it may be. Just take that chance. Take the chance of being judged. Like, people might see my stuff and be like, this guy's trash, or like, you know, he don't know what he's doing, whatever, whatever. But it's like,
it ain't for them. It was never meant for them.
Exactly. And so, like, I'm about to leave here today with, like, that phrase in my head, like, take a chance. Like, And everybody who's listening, like, should take that with them. Like, bro, definitely. Like, whatever it is that you thinking about, like, take the chance, bro, because you only live once. As cliche as it is, it's yep. true. Just like you said, life's about enjoyment. So,
jump life. Hey, man.
It's just vibes.
Hey, man, there's no better way to end an interview than just sort of everything that you've said. And obviously, I appreciate having you on. Again, as I've told you before, like, it's always love, you know, always looked up to you, respect you, and seeing you in your creative element. Love that too. I mean, it's just definitely this summer in New York, we're definitely definitely going to be hitting you up. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know where to find me, man. You know
Hey, just as long as if, I don't know, were you at the Litnick picnic across the park? You was not. Okay. It was yeah. lit, but it was a little too lit for Bobby.
I heard lots of things.
It was active. I thought my life was almost flashed for a minute, but I made it out alive, and here we are.
Yeah, that's Brooklyn for you, man.
It's the experience, man. It's all a part of the experience, and that's what we love about New York. It ain't perfect. Like you're never gonna be bored. You're gonna get something.
You're gonna have an experience.
Yeah.
You don't know what that will be, but you're gonna have an experience.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, man, thank you so much. I appreciate having you on. And look, we got to do this again, because you see, we could have kept going. So we got to do this some other time. Maybe when you DJ Du Soleil or DJ Soleil, whatever it is, maybe at some point we'll come back and do another part two. But appreciate having you on, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man.